Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'd probably say, other than Declan Rice, near enough every outfield player for Arsenal and Liverpool is a small rotation risk this week.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and welcome to not the Planet FPL Game Week 30 deadline stream. But it is live. To timestamp this for the benefit of those listening to the audio, it is just gone 12 p.m. UK time. So from time of recording, we are just under 6 hours away from the Game Week 30 deadline, which is 6 p.m. UK time. There is no deadline stream tonight, as I'll be in the away end supporting Tottenham at West Ham this evening. So I thought I'd bring the regular deadline stream to earlier in the day for you. That also gives me the opportunity to release this as an audio podcast ahead of deadline as well. So I may go a little slower on the questions than I normally would on the deadline stream, just for the benefit of those on the audio. Before I get into the questions, which I'll cover off for the next 55 minutes or so, let me take you through some of the graphics on the screen. So for those who listen to the Game Review podcast on Sunday evening, I've gone with a minus four that I very much suggested. So Mo Salah and Rodrigo Muniz are in for me for James Maddison and Ollie Watkins. Both star. I'll be lining up this week. Dubravka, Gusto, Porro, Gabriel, Salah captain, Palmer, Foden, Son, Tony, Haaland, Muniz on the benches, Areola, Bailey, Doughty, and Pau Torres. Can't foresee anything that's going to happen today that is going to make me take another minus four unless I suddenly heard something like Son isn't playing tonight for whatever reason. Can't foresee anything else is going to change that. I realise with Gusto, there's every chance he won't play. With Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester United, we won't get press conferences before deadline. Those press conferences that aren't already released, such as Unai Emery on Aston Villa, will be this afternoon before deadline. But we have no Chelsea, Liverpool, United updates expected prior to deadline. And as it's 48 hours away before they play on Thursday night, wouldn't expect anything in terms of late team leaks. You might get something useful tonight for one or two players, but the majority of clubs of interest play tomorrow or Thursday. In terms of captaincy this week, I think Mo Salah is the obvious and absolute standout. I've got Bukayo Saka second on the list, then Haaland, Isak, Diaz, Nunes, Palmer, Havertz, Odegaard, Tony make up my top 10. Bottom right-hand corner of the screen for those watching on the stream now, you'll see my predicted lineups for all 20 teams this week. Take note of that because there's certain teams who may well rotate. I think Bournemouth is one that I'd certainly highlight, and Liverpool may well be another. But look, right at the bottom of the screen, you'll see the upcoming ticker for the next 5 game weeks for all 20 clubs. The blue fixtures represent a double game week. And above me, you'll see the benching dilemmas, which for the benefit of the audio listeners, I'm going to run through. So these are players in order to start. In order, Bowen over Wood, over Muniz, over Maddison, over Mateta. Mateta over Garnacho, over Luiz, over Udogi, over Gusto. Gusto over Byrne, over Reguilón, over Zubani, over Anthony Robinson. Robinson over Richards, over Taylor, over Branthwaite, over Doughty. And for the keepers, Dubravka over Neto, over Leno, over Flecken, over Petrovic. I'm assuming the likes with Kelleher or Raya are obviously going to play that this week. If you had Kelleher and Raya, I suppose that is a possibility. It's probably Kelleher, I suppose, with the fixtures. Be some double up if you've got those two. Look at a bench boost, maybe. No, don't. It's a midweek set of fixtures. Probably don't do that. Right, let's get into the questions then. I'll go through these in order of submission. If there's any sort of repeat similar questions, I'll probably try and skip past them. FPL Pilkington is first. Says, what is your gut reaction regarding Saka? Do you think he will just start and it's another Arteta nonsense? Well, to be fair, Mikel Arteta has said this morning that Bukayo Saka is not injured. He obviously didn't train in the build-up to the Manchester City game. We think he probably trained on Saturday. He obviously limped off with sort of 15 minutes to go, as I covered on Sunday night. He tends to limp off of every game. So, look, historically, Bukayo Saka's fit. He plays for Arsenal, and I think we probably have to treat it that way. But this is a different scenario for Arsenal when we have to caveat that with, obviously, the Champions League fixtures coming up. Arsenal will have a run of midweek, weekend, constantly now, at least until we get to the weekend of game week 35. Should they reach a Champions League semi-final, then it's all the way to game week 37, where they'll play midweek on weekends. And when you look at the fixtures across that period for Arsenal, you do look at this one and think, yeah, this would, if you're going to give him a break, this is the one. I would say my personal opinion is Arsenal shouldn't play him. They don't need to play him, I don't think. They should have way too much for a very depleted Luton side who have picked up more issues at the weekend. Reece Burke likely to be out. Alfie Doughty's obviously a doubt. Taheem Chong is a doubt. They really are down to the bare bones, unfortunately, Luton. And Arsenal should have more than enough without Bukayo Saka. So were I Mikel Arteta, which thankfully I'm not, I would leave him out tomorrow night personally. But historically, he nearly always plays, doesn't he? So I've got him in the predicted Arsenal lineup. But I think the common sense would be that he doesn't play. Milan Razavi says, hello, James. Hope you're well. Couple of questions. Would you sell Son to Havertz on a free transfer? Who to bench out of Jackson and Cunha? And who to bench out of Gusto, Aitnori and Munoz? Thanks for the answer. So, no, I wouldn't go Son to Havertz because although that obviously looks better this week, there's a rotation risk for Havertz as well. That applies similar, because I think he's become a key and important player for Arsenal. So there's no certainty that he plays tomorrow night. He may also play in a deeper role. Again, I do have him in my predicted Arsenal lineup. I've got a rest for Jorginho. Seems to definitely make sense tomorrow night. And Clayton confirms as much on our Patreon differential show podcast this morning. So it could even be a deeper role for Havertz. That doesn't necessarily take away from his potential to return. But then fast forward to the weekend, do you want Havertz at Brighton or do you want Son against Forest? The following week, do you want Havertz against Villa or do you want Son against a very weakened Newcastle defence? So, no, I wouldn't. I think you can look at immediate and go, yep, that's great for me. With Sonny, the only debate is whether obviously it's left or up front. Havertz, there is a small doubt about rotation. I think that particularly applies this week. I think Son probably starts through the middle again tonight. I think that probably won't last the whole game as it very nearly did on Saturday. The fact that Richarlison only got sort of 10 to 15 minutes suggests to me that he's not 100% yet. I would say West Ham away doesn't really feel like a Sun fixture. And to correct my point, I said I couldn't remember he'd scored at West Ham. He definitely has, certainly under Mourinho, and he got a couple in the League Cup tie when Pochettino was still manager as well. So he has scored at the stadium and against West Ham before. It's can Tottenham find the space for him? So, no, I wouldn't be selling Son at this point in time, I think, unless it was directly to, you need to find the money to get Mo Salah, in which case, as per Sunday night's pod, I could completely understand that. In terms of the benching of Gusto, Aitnori, Munoz, got to be close call that one. I would probably have Munoz right at the bottom of that, I think. I think with Gusto, home fixture for Chelsea, I think it's a kind of flip of a coin, but I'd probably play him, looking at how advanced he was in the period at the weekend. He'll either start or he won't, I think, rather than it being a one-pointer. You can certainly expect the other two players to play. So I'd probably have it in the order that you've written, I think. So Gusto, Aitnori, Munoz. But I definitely get the temptation to go with Aitnori away to Burnley. My concern with that for Wolves is obviously, again, a bit depleted. If Craig Dawson is back tonight, that may help a little bit. So Gusto, Aitnori quite close. I think Munoz behind those two. CM Punk 2310 says, hey, James, your opinion on Bradley on a dead-end 34 strategy? My 34 defence is Gabriel, White and Zabani. Not a fan of Zab. Yeah, I get that, but the fixtures aren't terrible, is it? It's Crystal Palace at home, Luton away, Manchester United at home. And then obviously the double. So I presume that you're obviously wildcarding on the other end of that. I probably wouldn't prioritise that. Thing with Bradley is, for this week, it obviously looks super. But again, is there a guarantee that he plays? Can we rule out that it'd be Gomez at right back and say Shimikas at left back? I don't think we could rule that out. I don't think you're super keen to have him for Manchester United away at the weekend. Palace in 33 looks good. The double looks good. But over this period, Trent's probably going to be back, isn't he? So I think Trent's probably going to struggle for the weekend against United. And that appears to be the case probably for Alisson and Jota as well. But they're all really close. So, I mean, if Bradley is required specifically for 34, i.e. if you're thinking going Zabani to Bradley, I probably wouldn't bother with that. I'd be looking at different solutions, I think, mate. Vish says, for dead-ending into 34, which are the key players and teams to get in? I have two Arsenal, three Liverpool, including Bradley already. Well, the obvious thing to say probably with the fixtures now is get your third Arsenal player. But in terms of alternatives, I think Dominic Solanke would be a fairly obvious pickup for game week 34. That's perfectly reasonable. The rest of the teams we've got doubles, I'm not hugely keen on, particularly in terms of entry for now. So with Palace, Bournemouth away this week's fine, but then it's City, Liverpool, doesn't massively appeal. Wolves is arguably the one you'd say, right, you can go and get for now. So I think if you wanted Ait Nouri, for example, that's fine. Anything else like Cunha, I'd probably wait for. I know a few people are looking at Sarabia to help enable, obviously, getting Mo Salah back in. That's reasonable. There's no reason to think Sarabia won't keep playing at the moment. It feels a little early to punt for Cunha when there's Mateta at a similar price who's got the double you could probably just as easily bench in 32 and 33, and obviously Wood and Munez both in form as well. So I think from the teams outside Liverpool and Arsenal, the one would be the priority for me, I think, would be Solanke. And I'd be looking to buy a Palace player, be it Eze or Elise or a defensive one in 34 itself. But you're going to want the third Arsenal, aren't you? So I don't think there'd be anything wrong with going second Arsenal defensive, for example, if that's what you want to do. Philip Sukta says, hi, James. Thanks for the great content. Big Tasty Jamel Lascelles to Gvardio, a good move. My other defenders are Bradley, Gabriel, Gusto and Udogi. Free hit in 34, bench boost in 37. Good luck for the game week. So Lascelles is going to have to go because obviously, unfortunately, he's out for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, never mind the rest of the season. And I'm wondering here, Bradley's going to go at some point for you on this path. So too's Gabriel, possibly. Are you happy to play Gabriel as part of a bench boost in 37 away to Manchester United? If you are, fine. And obviously removing Gabriel would be low priority and not something you'd consider now. And you wouldn't consider moving Bradley now either. I'd just be a little conscious that you might end up making quite a few defensive changes. I mean, imagine if Gusto is out for a while as well. You might want to reconsider your ideas because suddenly you'll have Bradley possible for 34, Gabriel in for 34. You might want to look at that in a different way, possibly. But on the face of it, yeah, I said this Sunday night, I think if he was going to target a City defender at the moment, it probably would be Josko Gvardiol. But with the caveat that, okay, Nathan Aki's injured and we don't quite know the extent yet, but Gvardiol is definitely going to play these Champions League games. So it's not like in some of the weaker games that Pep might not go, yeah, I'm going to play Rico Lewis at left back at home to Luton in 33, for example. Like, he may well do that. Manuel Kanji can also play that position as well. But yeah, I think generally speaking, that's absolutely fine, Philip. Gazman says, hi, James. Already took a hit for Watkins, Barkley to Muniz, Salah. Play Gusto and get Van Heck auto sub or another hit. No chips left. And for him in the 70K, good luck. Yeah, I spoke about this quite a bit when I spoke about the minus four I took in the last week on Sunday's pod, so I don't want to repeat all that. But the bit I will repeat is no hits for defenders unless they've got a double game week. Let's just forget it. It's just no one's keeping enough clean sheets other than Arsenal. Certainly in this week as well, where there could be rotation, I wouldn't want to be taking a hit for a defender. My take is, look at me, right, with Gusto. If Gusto doesn't play, I've got what? Doughty away to Arsenal or Torres coming on away to City. Like, it's terrible, isn't it? But is anything actually worth a hit to fix that? Probably not. So I'm going to leave it be. Even if there was confirmation today, oh, Gusto's out for 2 months, I'd just deal with that problem in 32 or 33, I think. And actually, Doughty and Torres will both potentially be useful for me in 32 with Bournemouth and Brentford at home, respectively. So no, I wouldn't be taking a hit for a defender. You could make a small case, I think, if you had no Arsenal defensive coverage, and particularly if you were heading for a 34 bench boost, that's the one you could maybe make a case to say, right, Gabriel, Saliba or White, get it done. Otherwise, Nah, don't be taking hits for defenders. Sam Emerson says, afternoon, mate. Madison, the obvious move out for me. We've only three hit 34 to come, chip-wise. Saka or Foden, the options. Saka is the fixture short-term, but Foden in mind with the double game week 37 game. It's kind of rough, this, because if Saka doesn't play, then Foden's the answer. And even if they both didn't play, the answer still would be Foden from that perspective. I'd be surprised if Phil Foden didn't start, probably even more so than with Saka, actually. But, yeah, depends. How happy are you to go without Saka? I'm on the Foden route, right? The one player I don't have this week, who I'm probably bothered about, is Saka. Can't really fix it. Not justifiable when I can't even be certain that he's going to start. And the player I'm selling would be like Foden or Son. I don't really want to do that, to be honest. So it's a really, really tough call. With Foden as well, it does feel a long way from here to 37 for your reason for buying. But it's also good fixtures. But then again, you know, 33 at home to Luton, does he start? Don't know. Palace away on Saturday, if he starts again tonight, does he start? Having started twice for England. Don't know. Whereas with Saka, if he didn't start tonight, you go, okay, fine. I've got Brighton away. I've got Villa at home. I've got Tottenham away. I've got Bournemouth at home. And then maybe at that point, that's your last transfer move going into 37, whether it be back to Foden, maybe even by that stage, it might be sort of up to De Bruyne, Gordon, Barnes, could well be in 36, a Tottenham player, particularly if the double lands there with Chelsea, be it, say, a Richarlison, for example. So I would probably be looking at it saying, right, well, who do you think scores more over the next five? I think the slight preference is with Saka. But it's also going to cost you another transfer en route, highly likely. Unless, again, are you comfortable to bench boost with Saka away to Manchester United in 37? There's worse things you could do than that. Snicker says, hey, James, on Wildcard 31, with free hit 34 and bench boost 37 coming up, what are your thoughts on the power midfield with Foden? Paired with Haaland, Darwin Nunes and Isak. Benching headache can cover Arsenal, Chelsea and Tottenham defence. What's the question here? As in power midfield with Haaland, Nunes and Isak. I mean, if you can make it all work financially, then sure, what's the reason not to? Other than an awareness of obviously 35, so does that not include people like Gordon, which I understand you're not going with, particularly he's suspended this week. Garnacho as an alternative. What's your exits from these guys? Do they want to stay all the way? The front three is perfectly reasonable for that strategy. You're going to end up moving Darwin Nunes probably to something like Hoyland in 35, I would guess. That's fine. That should put a little bit more money in the bank for you. CM Punk 2310 says, what's your opinion on taking hits at the end of the season versus at the start in the middle? I mean, depends what you want to do, right? Are you seeking overall mass increase? Are you looking to protect rank? Are you trying to like correct a mistake? Are you trying to catch an individual opponent? Not a straightforward question to answer. What I can say is around double and blank period, there's far more justification for doing it rather than, you know, just in a standard game week 10 to game week 16 period, for example. So, yeah, I don't mind it. You want to take a couple of hits for, you know, you might want to not look at Palace's fixtures in the near future, right? You might want to go, right, well, this might sound ridiculous and people have too much value in most cases. But the example would be, do you want to take a hit in 34 to go Palmer to Eze with Palmer away to Arsenal and then Eze with West Ham and Newcastle at home for a double and then go back to Palmer in 36 for his double? Sure. There's nothing wrong with that, other than I get some people have bought him at like 4.9 and would never consider that sort of move. So yeah, there's way more justification around doubles and blanks. That's just obvious in my opinion. Thomas Baker says, hi James, would you either do Watkins to Isak for free or Son and Watkins to Foden Haaland for -4? No free hit left and planning to wildcard 35. The big one with Haaland is 33, isn't it? I think that Salah's the obvious captaincy of choice for the majority this week. It's not to say you can't captain Haaland. Of course you can. You know my general opinion is don't gamble against him when he's got a home game, but it's also not particularly gambling against him when Mo Salah's got that fixture against Sheffield United. In 32, there are alternatives when Haaland goes to Palace. Remember, it's a lunchtime kickoff. Obviously, you've got Son against Forest, Palmer at Sheffield United. maybe even Saka at Brighton, if he's particularly if he's had the rest tonight, for example. And Salah's obviously got a great historical record against Manchester United. Is not terrible either. Watkins himself, if he was fit at home to Brentford, wouldn't be terrible either. So, but at 33, even with Salah at home to Palace, the fact that it's Luton and the fact that the spacing is quite good for that particular City fixture, it's Real Madrid Tuesday, Real Madrid Wednesday, with Luton sat in the middle, I think Haaland plays that game. So if you don't go Haaland now, what are you going to do for 33? Are you happy to take it on and just go Salah captain against Palace? If so, perfectly reasonable. Might even be Palmer captain against Everton as another alternative. That fixture against Luton would be lingering quite badly at me, and I'd probably be getting Haaland in under that circumstance, I think. But he doesn't necessarily have to be done now. I mean, one option is not to do it now and roll, but I guess that's dependent on what Unai Emery says about Ollie Watkins. And I get you don't necessarily want to look at Watkins away to Manchester City as well. I get that. I presume you're free hitting 34 based on what you said. I'm just not sure I'd go Foden at this minute. And that's a bit contradictory to what I said about the Foden-Saka conversation earlier. I'm not sure I'd necessarily pile in now. I'd probably do it because I'd feel the need to get Haaland in. So yes, I probably would do it. But I might maybe be looking at an alternative to Foden, maybe. I'd do it. Atul Balaji says, what do you think of Ben Brereton Diaz as a punt on wildcard? I did say on Sunday night, like, look, let's not look at him. He's just scored an 18-pointer. I don't think there'd be too many of them knocking about. But look, you've got a 5 million midfielder playing OOP, who's got a double game week coming up. Their fixtures aren't terrible. Chelsea at home, Brentford away, and then the double is an awful. Then 36, 37 fixtures are okay as well. But when are you going to start him other than the double? I couldn't, personally. I would honestly rather have Garnacho with a single fixture in 34 than Diaz's double. That's how I'd feel about it at the moment. There is one to monitor. And you certainly wouldn't be buying this week. If obviously you're buying on a wild card, you're obviously benching this week. If it works for you at all from a rotation perspective, I obviously can't see the rest of your wild card and you really, really fancy it, then go for it. But not for me particularly. And I think you'll end up selling that pretty quickly after 34, and that might be challenging. Greg Frost says, hi, James. Despite all the Arsenal defensive hype, I don't fancy their fixtures outside of the double. Do you think Reguilón comes straight back in this week to play over Gabriel? There's no way you'll bench an Arsenal defender at home to Luton, is there, mate? What's the thinking behind that? I've already spoke about Luton, so I'm not going to cover that off again. But no, remember, Brentford are still without, I mean, pretty much the majority of their first-choice defence themselves. Do I think Reguilón comes back in the team? Yeah, would I pick him over Gabriel? Absolutely no chance, mate. Vish says, for draft team, should I move Jesus onto Datro Fofana? Also, is Eze and Sarabia an easy hold over Szoboszlai? Thanks. Yeah, Eze and Sarabia you'd be holding, I think, with 34 in mind for draft particularly. In terms of Jesus, and I'd be keeping that at this minute, struggling to see why. Sure, there's a minutes issue there, but Jesus might start this week. So he's not in my predicted team, but yeah, I'd probably still be holding Jesus still. CM Punk 2310 says, last one from me. What do you think of Luis Diaz versus Darwin till 34? It's really difficult to say. Because I think even the likes of Elliot and a returning Curtis Jones is back in full training can have a little bit of impact even on Diaz. We know Gakpo is obviously a threat to both. And we know, as said previously, Diogo Jota's not far away either. Really, really tough. I imagine that Diaz will be the more consistent of the two. Nunes, everybody's just waiting for that one explosive game. I think the answer might also lie in terms of what else have you got elsewhere. Also, where are you going afterwards? So if you're moving after 34 and 35, like if I said, right, sell one now, where are you going to? And that might depend on the rest of your makeup. Because if you're not going to say Hoyland and Isak, you're going to go, oh, okay, I definitely want one of them in 35. but then you might want to set up with that way originally. So he's not a straightforward answer. I think the slight preference for me would probably be with Nunes, just because I think, it's obvious there's more alternative options in the midfield, but then you also need five of them rather than three forwards. The slight preference would be for Nunes. However, I'd caveat that by saying, I think there are rotation concerns for Liverpool players tomorrow night, and I've got Gakpo predicted to start over Nunes. I wouldn't panic about that, because as I discussed with Clayton on our Patreon pod this morning, Nunes will probably still return off the bench once he gets on in a game that will probably be over and finished with by that point. So I wouldn't fret about that too much. I actually owned Nunes when he was benched in the reverse fixture against Sheffield United, and he came on and assisted the second goal from memory. So I wouldn't fret about that too much. Slight preference with Nunes, I think. Horia Gradon says, hey, James, would you sell Foden for Saka this game week for free? Probably not. I think it's close enough that I'd see the advantage of having the extra transfer and what would happen in the next couple of weeks personally. So probably not. You're sick if you do it and Foden starts and Saka doesn't, right? So probably not. But again, Saka's also the player that I don't own that I probably fear the most this week. Patrick Lawson says, hi, James, start Petrovic or Pickford? I'd go down the route of the home fixture. Plus, Newcastle's best form of defence is definitely attack at the moment. So, yeah, I would go with Petrovic, mate. Heather says, hey, James, would you start Braithwaite or Zubanyi this week? They're both on the bench in dilemmas, mate, and I would go with Zubanyi from that, again, based off the fixture. JP says, hi, mate, thoughts on Barnes on Wildcard 31, also top three strikers on Wildcard, other than Haaland. Okay, again, depends very much on your strategy, right? Because if you're heading for 34, you're looking more at your Nunes's, your Solankes, perhaps even Matias Cunha, kind of just wait for him to build up his fitness, perhaps. Whereas if you're free hitting in 34, you're more likely to look at the likes of Isak, right? So as per usual, it's not that easy to quantify. In terms of Barnes himself, that makes me think that you're probably going to free hit 34 route or ignoring it from that perspective. I think Barnes will probably make himself a natural first choice, perhaps with Gordon moving to the right. I don't mind it. Certainly there's a differential to go and get at this moment. I think it's reasonable if that's what you want to do. Tiffy Ferreira says, did you create FPL challenge team? Should FPL make cumulative leagues to make it interesting? I did create a league for our patrons. I did pick a team at the weekend. I haven't picked one yet today. If I remember and have time, I probably will put a team together. If I don't, then I'm not bothered, because I have very, very little interest in it. My only real reason for doing it is a little bit of competitive nature for our patrons. That's it. Otherwise, I've not actually got any interest in it at all. Greg Frost says, you're so stressing about the game. Do you have any forfeits for the loser of Planet FPL Derby? Nah, no forfeits. He's left the country. That's how scared he is. He's gone to Portugal for a couple of weeks. He's going to be on some of the content next week, but otherwise Clayton will be covering for the majority of it. I've got Ian Parrin on the Sky Pod tomorrow. No forfeits. Is he scared? He said he was. So, Oni Dozy says, hi, James. Game at 32 transfer. Gibbs White to Gordon. Any other midfield options at that value? Again, what's the strategy, buddy? If you're looking longer term with 37 in mind and that 35 period, then yeah, I can't give you a reason not to buy Anthony Gordon in 32, mate. Harry Simpson says, hello, hope you're doing good, mate. Big game for Spurs later. It is, yeah. It feels like a difficult one to call. I predicted it as a draw. It feels like a game we could dominate and lose. It feels like a game we could dominate and win comfortably. I think the key issues around it will be how West Ham deal with us off the ball, and can they make enough of the moments where they can be really quick and offensive on turnover. Pretty sure Mickey van der Ven comes back in tonight to deal with, you know, that brilliant ball that Pakatar's always looking for over the top. So yeah, it's a difficult one to call tonight, but yeah, I'm certainly aiming for the 3 points. Maestro 18 says, Lascelles, Gusto owner here. Yay. Take a minus four to replace him, or just play Udogi and replace with two transfers next week. Just play Udogi, mate. The thing is as well, like, again, this week, I've got two predicted clean sheets this week. The three teams challenging the title. That's it. No clean sheets predicted for any of the other 17. if you take a hit for a defender as well, to make it effective, worth it on the basis of 1 week when you're saying, oh yeah, I can replace him in the next week, you kind of need an attacking return. And even that might not be enough. If you not that you'd buy Doughty, right? But Doughty might get an assist at the Emirates tomorrow night. They might concede five or six. Mad Shook says, morning, James, on dead end 34. Can buy one of Darwin or Haaland between now and 34. Who'd choose the big man? Sorry, they're both big men. The robot. Yeah, again, because I mentioned earlier for a previous question about Haaland and 33, that's where it'd be going. But LP says, hi, James. Bowen to Salah from minus four. Worth it, in your opinion? Cheers. Yes, it's Mo, isn't it? Like it's almost, I mentioned earlier about even if you need to take Sun out to get there, like understandable. So I can't really give you a reason not to, other than I do think Bowen probably returns in the game tonight. I think it's natural to probably think that. There'll be space for him on turnover down that side. He's going against Van de Ven, but if he drifts into the right areas or arrives in the box at the right time, you know his finishing is good. He played well for the period that West Ham were winning at the weekend. He was very good for England last Tuesday. So that's the caveat. It's always the same. When you sell a player like that, who's a natural goal scorer, you know the risk. But the bigger risk would be not having Mo this week. It was a straightforward decision for me to bring him in terms of what I was doing. Easy to sell Madison, admittedly, but I think if I'd not and held Bowen, I'd possibly have been looking at that. The only thing I would say is, for me, had I not sold Bowen at the weekend and sold Madison instead, I'd maybe sitting there now thinking about selling Foden maybe instead of Bowen. That's the only thing that would maybe be different for me. I know Jared Bowen will play. And the next couple of fixtures, Tottenham at home, a weakened Wolves, Fulham at home, it's not terrible. Glover says, hi, James. How possible do you think it is that Gabriel is rested against Luton? The sales and Gusto have gone down for me, leaving me with no cover if he misses out and no money in the bank to replace Big Tasty. Yeah, look, I think realistically, other than, let's list definitives here, Declan Rice, Virgil van Dijk. Do you know what? Even Virgil van Dijk's not 100%. I'd probably say, other than Declan Rice, near enough every outfield player for Arsenal and Liverpool is a small rotation risk this week. So what are you going to do? Fret about it? If you don't play, everyone else is in a similar boat, mate. So I really wouldn't stress about it too much. And again, whatever you get in, you've got huge expectations on it. Gusto might play. We don't know the circumstance at this moment. It wouldn't be the first time he's gone off late in a game for Chelsea and then appeared in the next game. Wouldn't be the first time. There's a few substitute appearances he's had around sort of after the 80th minute mark in games previously over the last couple of months. So, no. Is there a chance he gets rested? Yeah, there's a chance. Simon Kurtz says, hi, James. Thoughts on losing the double game week player, Odegaard, instead of Sun for Salah? Struggling to sell Sun with the next three fixtures. Yeah, but I wouldn't want to sell Odegaard this week, mate. If you're heading directly for 34, I'll be very honest, I would cut Sun on that specific strategy. Heather says, start Foden or Semenyo. That would still be a Foden. For me, have a capability of the player, as in Foden, and Semenyo's been doing absolutely fine as well. But Foden against Crystal Palace's back five, as in Semenyo's playing against Palace's back five. Matt Lackin says, Muniz and Luis Diaz or Darwin Nunes and Garnacho on wild card on free hit 34, bench boost 37. Here's the interesting thing with Muniz: if you're landing for a bench boost 37. You are going to want to sell him at some point. That's really key to remember. So you can look at it. Yeah, fixture's good. Yep, great. Don't need him in 34 when they play Liverpool. Yep, sure. You're not going to want to bench boost in 37 with him playing Man City. Unless titles won one way or the other, City are out of it or whatever. Otherwise, you're going to want to look at something else. And when you look at the forwards who would have the double in 37, ask yourself, where are you going to from Muniz? So it's obviously not to Haaland. It's unlikely it's going to be Alvarez. Tottenham, there's nothing there. Vernon, maybe, subject to fitness of others, but let's be honest, that doesn't sound great. Hoyland, it's a bit of a jump in money. Isak, it's an obvious jump in money. And Nkunku, Jackson, it's an obvious jump in money. João Pedro. might be your one. João Pedro or Danny Welbeck might be your one. So I don't mind you going for Muniz, but I think you might end up in a position where your route out at the end might be Welbeck or João Pedro. So how do you feel about that on hearing that? Now, of course, you can take a hit and move things about, but I just consider that. And therefore, the preference for me would be the other route. It would be Nunes and Garnacho. JP says, best two goalkeeper and five defensive rotation on game week 31 wildcard. Bench boost and free hit in hand. So I'd be heading for 37. But as I said on Sunday night's pod, I think picking the defensive assets has become very rough. I wouldn't want to double up from any of them. So if I was wildcarding and looking to bench boost in 37, I think I'd be something like Vardiol, Dalot, Udogi. I'd probably still chance Gusto. I'd be keen to see if I could work trips him. But Dan Burn would probably feel the obvious safest one to go to now. That's with the injuries I've got. As long as Dan Burn stays fit, Dan Burn will play. So it's kind of what you're looking for with that sort of thing. And there's some obvious good fixtures in sort of 34, 35. So something like that. You might deem that to be a little bit expensive. So if you do cut one of them out, go something like Van Heck or Brighton instead. That's the sort of thing I'd be looking at, I think. Who's next? Joe Pickerel says, City fan here. There's lots of cities, mate, but I presume you mean Man City. Says, I'm pessimistic and think the league's gone. Is there an argument to say, forgot, leave and put everything into both cups? Because I would be more than happy with the Champions League and FA Cup. I mean, look, there's no reason to do that in the immediate, right? Is there? So, in terms of tonight, I've said on Sunday's pod that I can see City winning every game left. That's just 3 points for Liverpool to drop, or what, one for Arsenal. Or maybe might be kind of 1.5 for Arsenal because of the goal difference. Like, oh no, if they drew a game, they'd be one behind, wouldn't they? Come on, James. No, it's not gone, mate. It's not gone. You've got the experience and the power and the know-how to win all these games left. I think the key game is probably Liverpool United on Sunday. It's probably the key game for everyone. Would it shock you that much if we're sitting here this time next week and City have got themselves like joint with Liverpool because Liverpool have lost at United and Arsenal have drawn at Brighton or something? Would it shock you that much? There's no giving up on it, mate. And City breathing down people's necks is pressure on people. Alex Barrett says, opinion on Son to Saka despite being on free hit 34. Yeah, I get it. Understood it. If I was sitting here on a free transfer this week, there's every chance I'd do it. Maybe. But still knowing the risk. I think a few have already even said it in this chat. Like selling Son at the moment feels really tough. But I'd consider it. I've probably got more confidence than most that Saka starts this week. All logical sense should say that Saka should not start this week. That would be the logical thing for Arsenal. Maestro 18 says, hi, James, hope you're well. Would you start Onana or Petrovic? Probably Petrovic, just on the home advantage, I think. John Arno Bro says, wild card active and only bench boost 34 left. Would you pick Saka or Son? Under your circumstance, mate, I'd pick Saka. David Toth says, only 4.1 to replace Lascelles. Van Heck or Livramento? You can't go Livramento, mate. Obviously got the ankle injury on Saturday, and we don't know the prognosis for that at this stage. Just, he might even risk the rest of the season, mate. I don't know that. It's just, it's a scenario. We don't know how long Livramento is out. If he's done ankle ligament damage, there's every chance he'll miss the rest of the season. We're in April. So you're 4.1. There isn't a lot there other than Van Heck. It might be that it works out that it's a different Newcastle player, something like Lewis Hall. But we just can't know that at the moment, and I can't advise you go there. So as per the previous questioner, yeah, by default, it probably becomes Van Heck. I think it's, at this stage, it's not a lot of alternative choice at the money available there. Patrick Lawson says, would you sell Foden for either Saka or Havertz this week? Non-free at 34. I've kind of covered that, Patrick, so I'm gonna jump. I would find it difficult, but yeah, I've covered it on Saka enough. FPL Cotney Reds says, would you stick to Son or punt on Odegaard for a -4? versus Luton, then move to Foden in 33. No, I mean, I could do that, couldn't I? And I'm not going to. So Greg Frost says, Luton score every game. Can't see an Arsenal cleanie unless you get an attacking return from their defence. Are Luton particularly susceptible to conceding from corners? I don't know the data on Luton conceding set pieces. I can certainly think of them conceding from a few. I feel like I can think of them scoring from more. Yeah, look, Luton scored three times against Arsenal with a reverse fixture. We know there's a bit of capability there and they go for it, but they've also been absolutely decimated, Greg. Been decimated. Like, if they score, cool, great. But you think there's no chance Gabriel even scores at the other end? Like, I predicted 4-0 Arsenal. So it's every chance for the Gabriel 15-pointer there. Never mind that, oh, Gabriel, it might be a 2-pointer. Playing, mate. Adaror Direj says, Robertson and Watkins out for Isak and Gvardiol in 3 at 34, bench Kulusevski this week. So I presume you're saying make them transfers now. Yeah, I think that's reasonable, particularly with a free hit 34. A bench Kulusevski this week. I don't know who you're starting instead, mate. It's going to be an alternative choice there, isn't there? Deki tends to get more in away games than home games. I said that lots in the past. I don't know what the reason is behind that. I think he probably still starts, but as per Sunday night's pod, Johnson is definitely putting the pressure on him now. I actually think both start tonight because I think Werner played the whole game Saturday and was pretty shattered at the end of it. So it depends what you're benching him for. Patrick Cliver says, bring in Haaland and Foden. Or Darwin and Saka, free hit 34 and bench boost 37. Bring in Haaland and Foden or Darwin and Saka. Again, it's a boring answer, but exactly what I said earlier about Haaland 33 would be decisive in that, mate. Lewis Cobb says, James, have you seen the North East journalist Joel Bland has said Newcastle have a surprise injury which will be announced after the lineup comes out? He's saying Isak or Cher. We don't know. And I'm aware that journalist has been a bit hit and miss. So, for example, that journalist tweeted last night and said that they'd heard that Nick Pope was probably out for the rest of the season. Craig Hope, who's a journalist who's very, probably I would say, better connected with Newcastle, has said that he's not heard anything about that in terms of Nick Pope at the moment. And the plan is that he'll still be back before the end of the season. So there's every chance that that injury is what I'd said earlier. It could just be that it's Livramento, mate. Mo says, hi, James. My strategy is wildcard 31, free hit 34, bench boost 37. Best three forwards for wildcard 31. Also, would you do either Bradley and Solanke or Van Hek and Darwin? Van Hek and Darwin, I think, just because Bradley's liable to become an issue fairly soon, I think. Look, Haaland's going to be one. Isak's going to be another. And then I personally, on your strategy, it would be I'd want Hoyland and I'd want to buy him in 35. So then it's a case of me having a forward for 31 until 33. And I strongly under that circumstance be considering Ivan Toney if it's affordable. Michael Scott says, hi, James. Hope leg better. Thank you, mate. Leg's not too bad. I had an MRI scan last Thursday, which for anyone who's ever had one of them before, is not fun. Head first, whole body in, nowhere to go. It's like, is anyone still there? I don't know because I can't see anything. I should get results of that next week. My main problem is my foot now, but thank you for asking, mate. We'll get it treated. Michael says, cannot get both Saka and Son. This is on a free hit 34 strategy. Would you go Saka Foden or Son Havertz? Saka Foden. Alex MJ87 says, defence is Gabriel, Kirkes, Aki, Gusto, Doughty. Would you take a hit for a defender playing towards 34? Can't afford VVD, but any of the others. Does it need to be a hit? And a VVD would be one you'd say is justifiable. I think the only one under that circumstance, if you generally thought that, would be another Arsenal player. Now, look, you could end up in a scenario there where you have one player this week. It's possible. It is possible. It's also possible that Gabriel plays, Kirkes plays, Gusto plays, and that would look perfectly reasonable, wouldn't it? On that basis, I don't think I'd be taking a hit, personally. If I had to, it would be Aki to another Arsenal player. Luke Stevenson says, would you sell Son or Bowen to get Salah? Yes, as said, selling Watkins to fund it will get Solanke, Mateta, Semenyo. He's not mentioned Muniz. Can only get Solanke if I sell Son. Only got free hit left and I'm on free hit 37. Then, yeah, then I'd been Son, mate, under your circumstance. I'd been Son. If the worst comes to it as well, Bowen's got Palace away in 34 as a single fixture if you got stuck, whereas Son's got nothing. So under your structure, yeah, I would be getting Solanke in. Super Scotty Squad says, hi, James. Was looking at Son to Havertz for this week to free up some funds for next game. We need to fix up the sales and Gusto. Yes or no? It's a no from me. Very tempting. I think even like a reasonable captaincy shout this week. It's also reasonable that he doesn't even start. Perlo's Pence says, afternoon, James. Who do you think is my best Lascelles replacement? 4.6 to spend. Already have Gabriel, Gusto, Bradley, and Udogie. Thinking 8, Norrie or Burn. Free hit 34, bench boost 37 also. With 4.6, so that rules out City. Yeah, I think Burn, mate. Yeah. I think that's probably right. As shit as they look defensively at the moment, and although the problems keep mounting up, it is a great run of fixtures, and you're probably comfortable playing him every week, even with how bad they've been defensively. I think, yeah, Burn. If I was on wildcard now, I think he'd go into me for me because I'd probably just struggle to have to stretch towards trips, I think. Milan says, one more question. Sorry, agreed on not doing Son to Havertz. Just needed confirmation. Who to bench out? Cunha and Jackson is tricky for me. Jackson will have space in behind, which should be good. Straightforward one, mate. You don't even know that Cunha's going to start. I do have him in my predicted Wolves team out of necessity. But I would be playing Jackson, mate. Dixie says, hi, James. What gap in points do you think is catchable with 9 games to go? And what would be your strategy? Cheers, mate. What gap in points do I think is catchable? Depends how well set I am. Depends what chips I got left. Depends who I'm trying to chase. Is it one person? Is it a group? I mean, the thing is as well, it depends on the averages, right? So if you're bench boosting 37 and the average is going to be in excess of 100, you can make bigger gains than if all the doublers flop and the average is like 50, right? So it depends how the game goes. Let's talk FPL. My friend Andy's in, says, oi, oi. Since he's here, we'll give him the plug. Go and watch Andy's deadline stream tonight instead of mine. There's plenty of other good content creators as well, but Andy's a good friend of the show. Give him or one of the other creators their your support tonight if you can on YouTube, guys. Ian from Melbourne says, how long do you plan to keep Tony going under the radar potentially as per your last pod? Good luck for the game week. So look, he'll probably go for me in 35 purely because I can't, if they're fit, see me having any other trio other than Haaland, Hoyland and Isak. I cannot see me not going with that three as long as they're all fit in 35. So for me, it's probably Sheffield United at home game at 33, and that's probably it. But I think for those who are really struggling without chips, there's two teams we mentioned on the Patreon pod this morning. Actually discussed a really radical strategy for someone who perhaps wouldn't have a free hit left and no bench boost and had a crippled team, which was actually wildcard 34, bench boost 36. And then, like, say, triple captain 37, which is rogue, and I don't recommend that for anybody. But there's definitely different ways to skin stuff. And under that circumstance, to get your balance, there's two teams that really stand up. One is Brentford, because the fixtures are largely good all the way. And the other one is Everton. Double in 34, Sheffield United at home 37. There's fixtures against Brentford and Luton in between, which are reasonable as well. So I think Brentford players, because they don't have a double, the likes of Tony and Bumo are going to be completely overlooked and have got great fixtures. And every time you'll think, I'm not going to overlook them actually. No. I think they've got great fixtures. They're going to change. They're going to go three up front. They might do. Thomas Frank spoke about that ahead of his press, in his presser. They're going to go three up front. Vissa left, Bumo right, Tony up front. They're going to go for it again. I really want to get a couple of them. You won't. You'll be too fixed on the doubles. And I've just said what I'd do, right, under my circumstance. So I'm going to wildcard Tony out when he's walking into a set of fixtures that's Everton away, Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, Newcastle at home. but it's too much power in the others. And I can't not justify it when Hoyland's walking into Burnley at home and Isak's walking into Sheffield United at home and Erling Haaland is Erling Haaland. So, yeah, he goes for me. I'll free hit 34 and wildcard 35. He's a big reason for me not considering wildcarding now. You see, honestly, there's a few things I look at in my team and I think Tony's a potentially really good advantage for me in these next couple of weeks. Pancakes Versus says, hi, James. Love everything you guys do. Thanks so much. I'm on wild card to bench boost in 34. Can't decide between having A, Haaland and Sarabia or Garnacho, or B, Isak and Luis Diaz. Any thoughts? Well, you're definitely going to want a third Liverpool player in there somewhere or somehow, surely. But to repeat, you can deal with that in 34 after you've captained Haaland in 33. That's my take. So it's just that answer, straightforward. Toby Evinson says, hi, James. I'm looking at a free hit 34 and have the exact money for Lascelles to Saliba / White and fancy to double up. But like the Newcastle fixtures, so I'm tempted on share. Which way would you go? I promise you that every Newcastle fan would just tell you to buy the Arsenal player under that circumstance. I also get the Newcastle player's probably handier for you if you're free hitting 34. Get that. I would be massively influenced by strategy and you do already have one in place. I would go to Newcastle player, but I think every Newcastle fan would tell you to buy the Arsenal player. So take that however you wish. Jack Wilson says, roll with 2 threes and play Dallo or Gusto if fit. Why would we think Dallo's not? Or do Lascelles to Van Heck and play Van Heck. Wouldn't play Van Heck either over those two without information anyway. So rolling could be powerful for you, Jack. I suspect it will be another very difficult week for FPL managers and their defensive this week. Zubin says, play Onana or Petrovic. Did that one earlier, so I'm going to skip. As Winnie says, hey, James, what do you think about selling Son to fund Haaland? Have 2 free transfers. Yes, but unless you intend to captain Haaland this week or 32, I'd manipulate the situation to make that move in 33. Patrick says, Dubravka might lose his place to Karius. Yes, yes, he might. I know there's a few Newcastle fans want that sort of move, and it may well happen. And as I've said previously, if you're wildcarding now and going for goalkeepers or defenders, it is a massive headache, and that's another potential headache. It'd be no shock if Karius starts tonight. I've got Dubravka in a predicted team. I don't think Howe will change it, but it also won't come as a surprise if he does. What are you going to do? Take a -4 for a goalkeeper on the threat that Dubravka might not play? No. Deal with it afterwards if it's a problem. And I will have to. And by the way, there's every chance to be making a goalkeeper transfer myself this week anyway, because I'll be pretty happy with what I've got for 32 and 33. Except for my goalkeepers. There's every chance I'll be buying a goalkeeper in 32. James Brennan says, hi, James. Best keeper for 34. Under 5 million. Was thinking Johnston at running through until the end now. Well, it won't be Johnston because he's out for the season, mate. So it might have been Dean Henderson. You ain't going to want to play him in any other week, mate. Jordan Pickford is the answer for me. Greg says, I'm benching Palmer over Kudos, Tony and Muniz. Chelsea have played quite poorly against Manchester United in recent times. Plus, I suspect Palmer is a boyhood United fan and might just have an off day. Okay, Greg, I wish you luck with that. David Fawn says, would you bench Solanke or Sarabia this week? Solanke of guaranteed pens, while Sarabia is a question mark in that regard. Just see Burnley as having a much more likely to capitulate. I'm batting Burnley to win this week, mate. I can't think there would be many scenarios where I would ever pick Sarabia over Solanke. Trying to think. Solanke would have to have one of the big teams away and Sarabia to have a fixture like Burnley, admittedly. Solanke's got Palace at home. I don't really think there's anything to think about there, mate. Renomriani says, hi, James, would you play Zabani or Nelson Semedo? But I'd chance Semedo with the fixtures, despite what I just said. Shaz says, is it worth getting Saka now to cover Arsenal mid or go with Rice or Havertz? So is it worth getting Saka now to cover Arsenal mid or get two other alternative Arsenal midfielders? If you can get Saka, that's what I'd be doing, but there's no context to that question, so it's a difficult one to answer, mate. I'm going to cover down to, I can see homegrown FPL's question. That's going to be the last one. I'm going to do these nice and quick. Dixie says, hi, James. Would you take a minus four hit for Cher and Isak in for Watkins and Doherty and bench Madison or just do the defensive move? I'm free hitting in 34, bench boosting 37. If Watkins is ruled out, I don't mind. And obviously part of this minus four would be to enable something else. And the two Newcastle players probably under your structure is understandable. So yeah, I would probably do it. Samson says he's got the same question as basically what Shaz asked. So same answer, mate. Would I just put Diaz in there instead? Nah, still Saka for me. Tropical says, with injuries to bench boost, 37 players, remind us to play wildcard close to bench boost. What are your thoughts on wildcard 33, bench boost 34, pros and cons? Personally, still have three here. This is a long answer, and I'm not going to give a long answer, sorry, because I said I'd cover these off quite quickly. But the biggest thing for me, I discussed this with a few of our patrons on a Zoom call yesterday about bench boost 34 versus bench boost 37. The first thing to say is how your setup is important, right? And everyone tends to have an agenda for what they think is best. What's best for me is bench boost 37. And I've said that's my preference, and I'm fairly clear on that. But the reason I'm fairly clear on that isn't so much a bench boost 34 versus a bench boost 37 specifically. It's the movement from 34 to 35. And how do you get to the team that you really want in 35? That's the biggest one for me. And that just makes it easier. If I was in a position where I could bench boost in 34 because my team was really well set up and then wildcard 35, then I would. If that's how it works for me. If I'd come out of 29 and, oh yeah, I've got treble Liverpool, treble Arsenal, it's all in place. Yeah, I'd be heading towards bench boost 34 as well. So it's circumstantial, but I do think the maneuver between the doublers you want in 34 and the doublers in 37 is way too massive for a three game week period. That's my take. And that's why it's easier to wildcard after 34 to set it for 37. The other thing is between now and 35, there will be more information. Maybe Lewis Hall will be playing every week for Newcastle. Maybe Malo Gusto is out for the rest of the season and Alfie Gilchrist locks down a permanent position as Chelsea's right back until the end of the season. Something mad like that will emerge in the next 4 weeks or so that wildcarders will all go into. At the moment, wildcarding now for that in 37 is tough. People who are on that strategy have my sympathy. And I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. It will be right for them. So the pros and the cons isn't so much 34 versus 37. It's the management of either side. Roshan says, hi, James. Chasing 44 points in my mini league. Thoughts on Captain Sun? Not this week, mate. It's other weeks. Said then 44 points. Yeah, it might be more afterwards. Arthur says, Gusto or 8 Nori? I mean, I'd play at 8 Nori, I suppose, under the circumstance here. Tanky says, is game week 34 bench boost better than 37 in terms of the fixtures? If your team is well set up, shouldn't be this be the best option? So again, I agree with that in principle, because in 34, you can bench boost with like Branthwaite, Chris Richards, some cheaper players than perhaps the 37 option. Like, I get that and I agree with it, but you've also said it yourself. It's how well you're set up. You're set up well for 34, you crack on, mate. And finally, Homegrown FPL says, hi, James. I sold Bowen and kept Foden and Son. It was not an easy decision as Bowen has been massive for me. It's no question now. So that's the end of the stream, guys. Thank you very much. Smash a like, hit the sub button if you're watching live. As said earlier, please give one of the other great FPL content creators your support on YouTube tonight. Some of the guys will be starting at 4, some at 5. Give the guys a support, subscribe to their channels, smash them a like, etc., etc. In terms of myself, team new stream for advanced tier patrons is at 2:30 p.m. today. Ian Parrin will be joining me on the Sky Pod tomorrow. Versus Clash of Correspondence is Fulham versus Newcastle with Dara Curran and Simon Bibby. And then Clayton will be doing the game review podcast with myself on Friday. If you want to support the show, it's www.patreon.com/planetfpl. Do it because you want to support the show and content like this, or because you want additional content, which for the rest of this week includes Tottenham Arse tomorrow, away days from my trip to West Ham tonight for the advanced tier patrons. We got a quiz on Thursday. On Friday, we got the game week 32 preview podcast, another team new stream for advanced tier patrons on Friday as well. The game week 32 deadline stream will be ahead of deadline on this YouTube channel at 10 a.m. UK time. But just leaves me to say, play it your way, guys. Have a great game week. Hope your arrows are green, and for the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.